Edsel must wonder what he's got himself into here.
Well, yeah. He probably doesn't want to go down that path because there's a lot of different things to get into, and we've had him on the show many times. This is the first time since he's been at TNT, and I believe the official title is the NHL on Turner Sports Analyst. I like it. Here he is, Eddie Olczyk, longtime NHLer, former Leaf, one of our favorites, author of Beating the Odds in Hockey and in Life, Eddie Olczyk. What's happening, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, Brad Gordo? Hope you guys are doing well. Thanks for having me.
We're doing very well. Gord was telling secrets about you in the booth.
Okay, I shouldn't have done that.
And how you operate. You're very particular, apparently, with the way you set up before a game.
Well, you just, Ed, so you like your Fiji water, right? Is that, that's not a state secret, but...
No, that's what I prefer, but I mean, sometimes it's not handy, and it depends on the budget, Gord. I mean, that's certainly is a part of it, but I prefer the smooth feel of Fiji going down the pipes. But yeah, that's about all. And then whatever it is, as long as the cup button works, I'm okay. So I'm okay.
I love it. I love that your brand loyalty to a specific type of water. I love that. I wish I was as committed. I got to find some sort of a brand that I can attach myself to and go with. But what do you make of where we're at with Seattle and this whole week? I mean, I've enjoyed it. I'm curious to see how it's going to play out over the next 48 or 72 hours. Where's your captivation level at, Eddie?
Well, it's a couple, and I guess I should be full disclosure here, wearing a couple of different hats. Family, I got some skin and blood in the game.
Yeah.
My brother Ricky is vice president and assistant general manager to the legendary Ron Francis there in Seattle. So he's been there pretty much from day one. Ricky was Ronnie's first hire after he became general manager, and then in the last I want to say 4 months. Or more than that, I'm sorry, probably 6 months. My oldest son, Eddie, is an amateur scout in the central part of the U.S. for the amateur side for the Kraken. So it's a pretty exciting week when you look at it with the, the expansion draft tomorrow and then the amateur draft on Friday and Saturday. So putting that aside with skin in the game, I think it's very exciting. I think now, even more so, Bri, because of what we saw a couple of years ago with Vegas, right? Like, I think the anticipation of the team that they're able to put together, can they make a run like Vegas did? I wouldn't be surprised to see, maybe the Kraken and Golden Knights kick off and play opening night, maybe somewhere, to kick off the season. So, that would certainly be exciting and add a little bit of drama, so to speak, to opening night. But, I think when you look at some of the players on the board, I think everybody in the hockey world is certainly, looking at that and seeing what they might do and what conversations they've had with other teams about, asking, hey, will you pick up this guy or that guy? And, we'll flip you this or, what do you need? I mean, there's just so many things behind the scenes and, but I think it's very exciting, and just looking forward to seeing, what they end up deciding to do. And then, of course, with the draft this weekend is always exciting.
And so, one thing, Vegas made 10 deals in 2017. The bulk of them were, we remember the Alex Tuck deal from Minnesota. We'll give you Alex Tuck. You take Eric Haula. That protects Matt Dumba. There may be less of that. A lot of people think that teams kind of learn from that experience. But don't you think, Edzo, I really think... In 2021, so many teams are up against the cap. Where Seattle can really feast is, Vegas took four contracts back in 2017. Seattle could have an appetite much bigger than that and get a real haul for taking on contracts from teams that don't want to get rid of contracts but have to.
Yeah. Well, it is a much different dynamic, Gordo. It is, just because of the world that we're living in and, coming off the pandemic and, the flat salary cap and everything going on and seeing the players that are on the, that are available for Seattle to be able to take and whether they hold on to them or they end up flipping them or whatever it ends up happening. It is a dynamic that is interesting, and I think everybody is really excited to see kind of how they play it. And you're right. I mean, when you look at some of the players that George McPhee was able to navigate and grab and bring, you know, into under the Vegas Golden Knight umbrella and think about, you know, where, you know, maybe the first time go around. I think what you're getting at, Gordo, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like, okay, some teams were more worried about, you know, a couple of players or whatever, but, you know, instead of just worrying and saying, hey, look, at we're going to lose one player, big, you know, big blanket deal. Like, that's just the end of it, right? Like, you just, that's what it is. And all of a sudden, you know, you had George that got some general managers on the hook and played them and yelled fish on, and all of a sudden they got two players and maybe a draft pick for not taking somebody that maybe they had no interest in taking. And you see how successful they've been. So look at, there's some pressure on Seattle. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, I've talked to that about my brother and to Ronnie Francis about that. And just look, you know, I mean, let's try to, you know, just, you know, temper expectations here and realize what Vegas did, you know, may never happen again right. In professional sports when you think about it. But I think you're right. I think teams and general managers, certainly I would hope that they've learned since then, but you know, there might be some interesting things that happen here in the next, 30 hours or so, and people will be wondering, well, how in the hell did that happen? Well, sometimes the other guy in the other room thinks he's a little bit smarter than everybody else, and all of a sudden you get caught with your hand in a cookie jar.
Right. Is this the end of the road for you for expansion, Eddie? I mean, when you were in the league, it was 21 teams. Now we're up to 32. Can we get to 34 in the next decade or what?
Hey, Brian, thank you for being a friend there. I thought you were going to sit there and just go ahead and take a shot. Now, were you there in a six-team league?
He was the original 21,
right?
Original 21.
Yeah, no. Hey, what the hell? Why not? I hope so. I hope I'm still around, and I hope I'm still a part of the greatest league in the world, and, you know, we can get a couple of other teams in there, and, you know, look at that means that the, you know, the growth of the game is good, Bri. It's healthy. But again, I mean, look at the world that we're still in. Let's make it perfectly clear. It's going to take a while. So, I mean, if it's, you know, 3 to 5 years or whatever, you know, great. Do I think there's an opportunity that we will have a couple more teams in the NHL before? What are we in right now? We're still in 2021, right?
I think.
You know, by 2030, do I think that we might have, you know, 34 teams? Yeah, I think we could. I do. I think there's some possibilities out there and some markets, and, you know, maybe you get another team in a couple of big cities that we have throughout the U.S. and Canada, and go from there. But I think that the league is in a great spot. Hopefully, you know, teams will be able to, you know, have a little bit more maneuverability here moving forward. You know, once we get, you know, through this pandemic and get right on the right side of it and get business back going and everybody can be healthy. But I don't think we're done, Bri. I really don't. I think that I think there's going to be an opportunity to add a couple of more teams, and if that indeed is the case, that means life is good in the NHL, and that's a good thing. That's a great thing.
Edzo, let me ask you this. So next year, half the teams in the league will miss the playoffs. So 16 to 32 make it, 16 to 32 miss. Mm-hmm. What would you think about some form of, you know, and Ken Holland in Edmonton has talked about this, some kind of play-in for, say, having, if you wanted 10 teams in each conference make the playoffs and have a play-in for the bottom four, what would you feel about that?
I guess similar to what happened with the NBA this year, right? I would imagine that's kind of what he's kind of thinking about. Honestly, Gordon, Bri, my feelings are, Brian, I think we talked about this on a couple of times. I've had the privilege of being on your show. My feeling is I'm old school, and I'm okay with that, and I'll show my stripes. I think it should be the top 16 teams in the league make the playoffs. That's what I think. And I think that if you win, you win in regulation, you get your 2 points. If you win in overtime, the team that loses should get nothing. That's just my opinion. And I would love to see that. I would love to go back to the, you know, to the old days. You know, we were talking a little bit earlier. That's just my feeling. But, you know, look, at I understand what Kenny is getting at, and I understand why the NBA, you know, did that and, you know, have that one game, you know, play in to get to the playoffs, and, you know, you reward your divisional winners or your, you know, conferences or however you want to play it. I would just, you know, for a year or 3 years or whatever it is, I would love to see, you know, how that would all, you know, kind of play out. And you could have, again, the situation we were in this year, hopefully we never, you know, have those restrictions again. But, you know, we were on a course there where, you know, it could have been Montreal and Boston in the Stanley Cup final, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that would have been unbelievable in any situation, let alone trying to navigate through a pandemic. But I don't know if I would give a thumbs up on that. I certainly understand it. And, you know, more teams, the merrier. Look, if you want to open it up maybe a bit, you could probably sell it to me on that way, Gord, where maybe the top four teams get a bye, and then maybe you can have that little aspect of the, you know, the mini playoff to get into the main playoff and then go from there. But I guess almost like the bubble, you know, almost like the bubble aspect, which right. you had more teams in there. But again, then you argue, well, you know, you had 12th place teams in the conference making the bubble, and all of a sudden a fourth seed or a fifth seed loses and they're out. So there's a lot there, but I'd go old school. I would go 1 versus 16 and figure it out from there.
Yeah, I love that idea. Get rid of the conferences.
Well, it's tough for Trump, but you know what, though? For those of us who were around a long time ago, you know, in 1980, I think Edmonton played Philadelphia in the first round. Like, if you're going to mm-hmm. have a team from the West play a team from the East in the first mm-hmm. round of the playoffs, I mean, the travel does get pretty arduous. If you play four rounds of playoffs, you're going coast to coast all the time.
That's their issue, not me. I'm sitting at home watching it, Gord. I'm looking for entertainment.
But Brian, got to remember, too, right? Guys, remember, like, so take Boston, for example. So say Boston's playing Anaheim in the first round of the playoffs. Well, those mm-hmm. games are starting at 10:30 at night in Boston.
Yeah. Yep. Well, and that's an issue, and that's probably why it won't happen. And that's largely TV-driven.
Well, yes. Yeah, and money, yes. too, right? It is money, too, yeah. right? I mean, yeah. besides the players going coast to coast and whatever. But, you know, look at you want to have your divisional play, and then, you know, you want to reseed, you know, after the fact. You want to really kind of say, okay, well, these are the top teams. So a team from the Central, you know, shouldn't be, you know, getting, you know, being in a situation where they have advantages where they're, you know, all, you know, they're six overall in the in the final, you know, eight teams or whatever it is. I'm just kind of looking at it from the aspect of would I rather have it one way or the other, and I just think it would be just, you know, I think it would be flat out awesome to be able to have that opportunity. And I think at the end of the day, in my opinion, I think that you would see the so-called cream rise at the top if you did go 1 versus 16, and you might have your opportunity to get the top, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams, you know, battling there and having a chance that you could have a, you know, a 1 versus 5 Stanley Cup final, or you can maybe end up having a 1 versus 2, which I think over the course of the regular season and into the playoffs, I think everybody would love to see.
Yeah, I'd love that variety for sure. We're chatting with Eddie Olchuk, NHL on Turner Sports Analyst. We got to ask you about the Leafs before we get you out of here, Eddie. Needless to say, there's some nerves up here in Toronto about what could happen over the next 2 weeks. And, you know, we're inside the bubble, inside the echo chamber. Mm-hmm. We talk about this team all the time. We're yelling, screaming about it. You're on the outside, but you got the connection, obviously, based on your history with the team, and you're as locked in with this league as anybody. So mm-hmm. Where's your headspace at with where the Leafs are at, considering what they've been through, and maybe how active you expect them to be, or how active they have to be over the next couple of weeks to address some of the holes that they still have in the lineup?
Yeah. I mean, they got to get a goalie, Bri. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where it lies. And, again, I don't know what's going on with Freddie Anderson or you know, if Jack Campbell's going to be the guy or not. I mean, I don't, you know, look at, he can be a serviceable backup, but I just don't think, I think you need to go out and figure out who that guy is. Now, is John Gibson available? My understanding at the end of last year near the trade deadline is that he was very much available. I was told that there was a deal in place with Carolina. They had something very large on the table, but Carolina decided to back out, you know, in the, you know, 11th hour or whatever you want to call it. So, you know, is that a possibility, you know, of going out and get, again, I don't know what you guys think of a guy like John Gibson, but when I look at him, like, I automatically think he's a top 10 goalie in the league for sure. Now, if you get him on a team that is not being, you know, barraged with shots all the time and doesn't have the puck a lot and is always defending, obviously the numbers and the analytics will say different things, but I think it starts right there, and then you go from there, right? Because if you can look at it, if you think you need to improve your depth, you know, on the back end, You know, do you think you might need a little bit more finish up front? You know, but it doesn't matter. If you're not going to get the guy in goal to be able to give you a chance, you're not going to win. And said this all the time, is that if you got it, you got a chance. If you got it, you got no shot to win in the NHL. And I know what the Leafs' expectations are. I mean, it's like the time is now. And if you don't get a goalie, and again, look at it, if Freddie ends up coming back, again, I don't know, you guys are closer to me, but there are some guys out there, and if you're willing to dance with somebody, I think there might be an opportunity to go out there and really improve the position. And again, money, I know money is snug. I get it. I understand that. But at some point here, you might have to cut bait with some money and make sure that you got the guy in goal that can give you a chance to win each and every night. Most important time is playoff time.
And so before you go, I gotta say something. I appreciate you declaring your conflict with Seattle because your brother's there and your son and everything else. And I should declare mine.
Yeah.
I should declare mine because you and I both work with Cammy Granato, and of course I work with Ray Ferraro. I was in Vancouver. I don't want to spread rumors. I don't want to, you know, but I do want to say they might be dating. There's something going on there. I'm not sure what it is, but my spidey sense is tingling on it.
Your TMZ Gord.
Do you get that sense, Eddie, that there's something going on between Cammy and Ray?
Well, I think that's probably for a late night show, and I'm not sure if I'm really. I don't think I'm up that late. But believe it or not, Brian, you're not going to believe this. You're going to appreciate this more than Gord or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just got a text and said, "Well, just let me paint the picture here." So, hold on, let me go back, because I'm all confused right now. I don't know what the hell is going on with Ray. I'm not sure, and I'm not going to really ask. But I will say this, Brian, you'll appreciate this. 30 seconds ago, I just got a text. I'm like, what is this? So I took a quick look. I was a sneaky peeker. They said, do you want to go to the game tonight in Milwaukee? Because I'm only 60 miles from Milwaukee. And I'm like, you know what? My granddaughter is about 3 miles from here, and I haven't seen her in a while. So you know what? I gotta say no. So I'm gonna go visit my granddaughter instead of going to Game Six tonight. So that's where I am.
Grandfather of the year, but maybe get down to the Deer District after, get her to sleep, and then get down there. Apparently, 65,000 people are gonna be outside the building tonight in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's gonna be a gong show. So all I know is I got my feet wet at 2-0 in the series. That the Bucks would win, and I'm sitting on a nice little ticket at plus 385, Bry. So you can explain that to Gord, what that
means. I love it. I will. And that you're gonna be sweating it tonight.
I'm well aware, my friend, of what that means.
You might be sweating it, but I like it tonight. I'd cash that.
No, I'm good. They want me to cash out early, and I'm like, not a chance.
No, I'm riding
this thoroughbred all the way. So if the Bucks win, then yours truly will. We'll buy dinner next time I'm in TO. Hey, can I ask a serious question here?
Yeah.
Is LeBaron Steakhouse still around?
No.
It's not.
No, it's a parking lot now.
Worse. I'm sorry.
No, that was when they used to bring the steaks right to the table. Remember that? They'd bring the platter of steaks right to your table.
It was the greatest. We used to go there almost every night. My wife and I, we were talking about it the other day, like where in the hell the time is gone, and I met Spence. 3.5 unbelievable years in Toronto, and both my oldest boys were born there, and it's Scarborough Centenary, and we would go to LeBaron. I mean, you know, I probably played, I'm guessing, like maybe 135 or 40 games at the Garden as a member of the Leafs, and I'm proud to say I probably put away probably about 125 steaks after game four.
I think Bigliardi's is closed too, but Barbarians is still open.
Is it? Yeah, I spent a couple of times in there, but LeBaron was
that was a spot.
Little blast for the past for some of the old timers that are listening in. So
those are good times. We got PJ Carlissimo coming up later in the afternoon.
Nice.
PJ literally goes out for dinner 365 days a year. Like Christmas, I'm out. New Year's, I'm out. Thanksgiving, I'm out. Like every single night, he goes out for dinner. So he's probably as disappointed as you are, Eddie. He's been in Toronto many times. If I tell him that news in about 45 minutes, because I was not aware of that, I'm sure he'll be very disappointed too. So we'll pass that.
It was an awesome place. Awesome place. All right, you guys have a great night, and thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. Anytime. There he is, Eddie Olczyk from the NHL on TNT, and his book, Beating the Odds in Hockey and in Life. And he's got a plus ticket on the Bucks to close. He's feeling good, man. He's got two bullets to take that one home tonight in Game 7.
We did a playoff game one night. Where were we? might have been Detroit. So this is a while ago. And it went long. And we were staying at the MGM Grand Hotel. I was tired. We're doing a game a night. And we get back to the hotel like at 12:31 in the morning. Ed's was like, want to roll the bones?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in.
He's the best.
He is the best.
We have him on every year at the Kentucky Derby. We don't even talk hockey. It's the middle of the second round, maybe third round, and we're just talking about the ponies and who he likes and who we should have our eye on. Try to get him on for the Preakness, the Belmont, Triple Crown. I mean, no one does capping like Eddie. And I believe last time we had him on, because we knew he was going to TNT, I think he's still going to be doing stuff with NBC for the horse racing, I think.
I think so, yeah.
So he's hitting it on both sides. And, I mean, grandfather the year, turning down tickets to Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight, where he's got a chance to be there, and he's got a ticket on the go at a pretty decent plus price for Milwaukee. And he knows what's up. He knows what's up. And he knows what's up in terms of the priority. What did we talk about an hour ago for the Leafs? Goaltending. There's so much focus on Hyman.
That was right down Main Street for you, right? That was right down Main Street for you.
I could not agree more. I said the same thing an hour ago. Like, there needs to be more focus in this town on the goaltending position. Like, this idea that Campbell's the guy guaranteed is a big gamble. And I'm not sure. I don't think the Leafs see it that way, and I don't think they should.
I disagree. I think they got to work on their – they got to focus on their defense.
Well, if Kerfoot's going and Dermott's coming back – and you got Sandin, I'm not that concerned about their defense.